Church, a very good morning to all of you. Before we look at God's Word this morning, I just sense and felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to perhaps share a word that He has given to us to just encourage us. And I know over this season, many of us have been impacted, affected by the COVID pandemic, and some of us are discouraged because we have loved ones and friends who have succumbed to the virus. And this is God's word to us, my friends, from Psalm 46. Allow me to read for us. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in times of trouble. And therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way, and though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its water roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at this swelling. And from verses 10 to 11 of Psalm 46, God says, be still and know I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the Lord, the God of Jacob, is our fortress. So may you be encouraged, my dear friends, and know that God is with us, and His name shall be exalted through this trying, difficult season. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragement. This morning, Lord, as we look at your word from Colossians, may you continue to speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. A pastor friend sent me this cartoon not too long ago. I think you will see it on your screen. And this cartoon is coming up. All right. And I think this cartoon very well sums up how technology has changed our parenting style. And I think we need to ask, what are we feeding our children with in terms of nurturing their spiritual mind? And as we examine the text for today from Colossians chapter 3 verses 20 to 21, we need to ask the question, who is discipling our children? When St. Paul gave the instruction to the church in Colossae, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord, we need to realize that Paul wasn't addressing just the children. The children were, of course, present in those days, in the homes, and that's where the church met for a time where they gathered for the Word of God to be taught and also to partake of the Last Supper. But as we study the book of Colossians and as we look at the epistles, you will realize that Paul didn't write to just address the moral responsibilities of the children. Children, obey your parents. Although that is important, and we see a lot of that being taught in the book of Proverbs. Instead, you will realize that Paul's intent in addressing the parents in verses 20 to 21 was to bring across a very important Christian principle that every Christian household must and should abide. And that is, discipleship begins at home. Discipleship begins at home. The three essential responsibilities that every parent will need to carry out in relation to our children. Firstly, it's our responsibility as parents to lead our children to know God. One of the things I found disturbing is the belief that when a child is born into a Christian family or is part of a Christian family, they will somehow automatically know everything about God and become familiar with God's teaching in the Bible and have a personal relationship with Christ. I want to say to you, it doesn't work that way. Then there's the other group who believes that children are responsible for their own destiny, and therefore they should be allowed to make their own decision. They should decide on their faith, and if they want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm referring to those who are not of age to make their own decision. Firstly, being born into a Christian family or being part of a Christian family does not automatically make our children a disciple of Jesus Christ. They are to be equipped in the Word of God. They are to be trained to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to know how to walk with our Lord. Secondly, parents, we are responsible for our children's faith and spiritual life, because God has given them to us and has placed them into our charge and spiritual care. It is our responsibility to lead our children to know God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And there are some very key and important teachings here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You will notice that in the first five verses, it focuses on our individual relationship with God. The Lord instructed the Israelites to obey and to keep His command in the first five verses. And then the subsequent five verses focus on the Lord's command to the parents. Let me read for you. "And these words I've commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." This is God's instruction and command to the parents to teach their children God's word and for their children to know the Lord. And here in verses 6 and 7 in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see two instructions for the parents. And two things we are called to do here. Firstly, to teach our children. And secondly, to have conversations with our children. To teach is to transfer knowledge. And we are to transfer our knowledge and understanding of God's word to our children. And the best thing and the best place to begin this is actually to have a time where we actually read the Bible together as a family. And then we are supposed to have conversations with our children. The intention here is simple. It was something that was for the Jews in those days, and it is something that is still applicable to many of us today. To have conversations with our children is a time where we share our stories, our testimonies of God's faithfulness, and to tell them about God's works and God's miracles. And I'm sure many of us here would have heard of God's work and miracles. Stories that we have been told to you from friends or from the pulpit. But how many of us are actually passing that on to our children, for them to know what God is doing in our midst? Very clearly, Deuteronomy 6 spells out the role of parents, how we are to lead our children to know God. And I want to encourage us, my dear friends, as parents, for those who are parents here, and I see some young people, you may be thinking that this is not relevant to you, but it will be one day. We need to reclaim this sacred responsibility that God has given to us. And I also want to speak to the parents who are gathered here and those who are watching online. Sunday school is not a substitution for our children's discipleship. Our Sunday school programs are additional supplement to help our children, to encourage our children to grow in their faith. Those are supplement to what we are supposed to do as parents, to disciple our children to know God. It is our responsibility, and we need to recognize from God's word, this is a responsibility that God has given every parent to lead our children to know God and to have a personal relationship with Him. Secondly, parents, it is our responsibility to lead our children to walk with God. I'm sure many of us parents who are here, you will remember your child's first step. My eldest is 26 this year, and I still can vividly recall those moments. I'm sure, like me, many of you were there for your child to help them in their first step. We wanted to give them a hand, to encourage them, to help them to walk a few more steps. And this is the same in how we need to encourage our children to walk with God. And the best way to help our children to walk with God is to show them how we ourselves lived out our Christian faith as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And to live out our lives as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to understand Paul's instruction to the parents in the context of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. And you will remember that in Colossians chapter 3, in the first 17 verses, we are called to live in holiness. We are told to seek things that are above. And we are to put to death worldly desires in verse 5. And Paul says we are to put to death sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. And we are also to put to death earthly habits, verses 7 to 9. And Paul says that you must put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talks, and we should not lie to one another. Paul is very clear here in Colossians chapter 3, which how we are to live in holiness. And we are to also live in unity with one another. In verse 11, we are told to live as one in the body. And we are to be Christ-like in verses 12 to 13 as God's chosen people, holy and beloved. We are to be compassionate in heart, to be kind, to be humble, to be meek, and to be patient, to bear with each other, and to forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven us. Verse 14, we are to love one another. In verse 15, we are to live in peace with one another. And verse 16, to correct someone when they stray away from God. And that's not all. In verse 17, we are called to portray Christ through the things we say, through the things that we do, so that in everything that we do, we carry the image of Christ with us. Why is this important, you may ask? Our children learn about their Christian faith by watching us. Our children learn about their Christian faith by watching their parents. And that's the inbuilt learning mechanism that God has created in us from birth. We watch, we observe, and we repeat the same. Some of us will remember how as a child, perhaps we watch the things that our parents do, and we do the same. A children pastor once shared this story with us. He was taking a group of Sunday school children to the park for an outing, and they were traveling in the church van. When they arrived at the park, this children pastor parked his car and then started to tear the parking coupons. And then the young boy at the back of the van made this remark with a very loud, clear voice. "Uncle, my father says there's no need to tear parking coupons because we have paid enough taxes." Friends, what kind of values are we passing on to our children? Our children are watching us, hearing the things that we say, and then they do the same. And if we want our children to have a firm and robust faith, and to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, we must lead by example. We must set the example for our children, and we need to show them how we ourselves walk the talk and have an authentic relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, it is our responsibility to lead our children to love God. In verse 21, Paul instructed, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." The word provoke in Greek means to stimulate a strong reaction or emotions. And typically, that's unpleasant and negative. By that, Paul was urging the fathers not to have a bad, deteriorating relationship with the children, to the point that fathers are turning their children away from God. And you will notice here that Paul's appeal was specifically to the fathers. Fathers, we need to know that we have a very special and unique responsibility in our role in our children's journey of faith. And that's to lead our children to experience the love of the Father through our love relationship with our children. And I'm sure each one of us here have our own unique experience and journey in our relationship with our earthly Father. Growing up, my father was an authoritarian, a serious disciplinarian. Although my siblings and I, deep down in our hearts, we knew that he loved and doted on his five children. But as Chinese man, it was not in his culture to express his love for his children. Our children, they learn to relate to God the Father. Our children, they learn to relate to God the Father through the way they learn to relate to us as earthly fathers. As fathers, I'm pretty sure that we all love our children. There's no doubt about it. The question is, do they know that we love them? And have they experienced the love of their earthly father? When was the last time, as fathers, we say to our children, "I love you"? When was the last time that we show that we care and we are actually concerned for our children's emotional and spiritual needs? And were we there for them in all this recent spate of challenges to give them a listening ear? It is not unusual to find young people in church who are unable to experience the love of our Heavenly Father because they have not experienced the love from their earthly father. And fathers, I want to encourage you. We can take the first step to reverse how our young people are feeling about their earthly father. It will take a lot of humility. It will take courage on our part to take this first step to acknowledge that we are imperfect, but to tell them that we are sincere in wanting to mend and to heal our relationship with them. Are we prepared to say to them, "I'm sorry for what I've done, and I want you to know that you really mean a lot to me, and I love you"? As pastor, I want to confess, I wish I had done more. I wish I were there more for my children when they were younger. But the demand of ministry, the travel, the, and being frequently stationed overseas took a toll on our relationship. But I'm thankful for a lovely wife who took care of our children when I was absent. Now that our children are young adults, I know I can't turn the clock back, but I've chosen to focus on the future, to be there for my children, to love them, to care for them, to give them a listening ear when they needed me, to celebrate important moments with them, like their graduation and birthdays. More importantly, I hope to be able to lead them to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure we have heard many stories of estranged, broken relationship between fathers and children, between parents and child, perhaps. And I know deep down in our hearts as parents, we love our children. No matter how bad our relationship may be, you need to know today that God can bring healing and He can mend that broken relationship. And I want to encourage you, fathers who are here, let's take the first step. Let's take this first step to mend and to heal this relationship and to lead our children to experience the love of God and to walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before I close, I just want to talk about discipleship in this season of the pandemic. In the past few months, the COVID-19 pandemic has presented unusual challenges to the lives and well-being of families in Singapore. We see cases of family violence on the rise amid the pandemic. And while parents and children are supposed to have more time together, children are actually feeling more neglected. And this are done through surveys. And students are reported to be feeling the mental pressure and they are crying out for help. And this report from today caught my attention. You will not see, you probably can't see the last line, but let me read for you. It says, students interviewed said that they are quite open to seeking help, although some are unsure how their parents would react when they know about it. You know, when I read that, it was so painful in my heart. For these young people who are suffering and yet they are concerned, how will my parents think about me? How will they react if they were to find out I'm going through all these mental challenges? What is happening, my friend? And what are we doing about it as parents? And this issue of mental health is not limited to just our young school-going children. In this next report on Generation Z from 18 to 24 years old, our young people are finding it uncomfortable to discuss mental health issues. What is that telling us about family lives in Singapore? And what are we doing about it as parents? COVID-19 has impacted our family routines, the way we socialize, the way we function as a family. And as parents, I believe many of us likewise are overwhelmed. We are feeling the impact, we are having to navigate the constant changes, and we are needing to know what's next. And I want to suggest to you that in order for us to overcome this trying time, we need to band together, we need to come alongside as a community to support our parents with young children and parents with teenagers. And perhaps you will know people within your community, in in your cell group or in this service, parents with young children and teenagers who are needing your support. They need our constant encouragement. They need us to cheer them on in their endeavor during this challenging season to disciple their children. I'm sure we are all familiar with this famous African proverb. It takes a village to raise a child. Similarly, we need to be as the cathedral community, to be that village, to be committed to support our parents, to raise their children, to disciple their children, to know God, and to have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with the gift of family. You have entrusted us with the spiritual upbringing of our children. You commanded us to teach our children about you through your word and through the way we lift out our Christian faith. So guide us, O Lord, that every moment of the day as we work towards this awesome task, we may be able to teach and guide our children through our words and deeds. And Father, I want to pray for every parent and child relationship and every family represented here. God, you know those who are suffering and parents who have the desire for a relationship with their child to be mend and healed. And so, Lord, we pray this day, on this very day, would you pour out your grace to bring healing in every relationship and every family represented here. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.